And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. how do you like this brand new day? It's awesome, isn't it? I'm so glad to be with you today. I think I have all the buttons pushed correctly. That way, if you want to call me and ask a question, well, maybe I can make up for the last time I was here that the buttons weren't pushed correctly. So even after all these years, I'm still learning. It just goes to show you take for granted when everything works right. You don't think about it. Well, when something comes up, you're going, okay, what do I do? The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. One thing that I was reading this morning, and let me just share this with you. It says, you know, everybody has to decide they're going to take care of themselves. That's the very best decision you can make. It is your duty to be a good steward of the body that God's given you. Everybody fails, everybody gets off track, but we have people to encourage you. Iron sharpens iron. And plus, you're saving yourself so much pain and suffering if you just do a few simple things. And here's one example right here. 15 to 25 minutes of moderate exercise per day. This is a new study. It adds 3 years to your life if you're obese. What could you do with 3 additional years? Where you could actually do the very thing that God designed you to do. If that's to help your fellow man, if that's to encourage others, if that's to teach your grandchildren, if that's to start a business, if that's to pay taxes so you can help fund all the different programs of the United States government, then do it. That's good. So what happens if you're in good shape, if you're not obese? Well, just 15 to 25 minutes of moderate exercise a day, that's been shown to add 7 years to your life. That is incredible. So basically, you win if you're not in great shape, and you win if you are in good shape, just by moving your body. So much of the human body is dependent upon movement. When you do not move enough, everything becomes stagnant. So what if you're like laying in a bed right now, and you have been really, really sick, and you have all these thoughts going through your mind? Am I ever getting out of this? This seems like it's overwhelming. Well, the first goal you got to have is, what am I going to do to start moving? What if you can't move anything but your pinky finger? Well, my recommendation to you is you start moving your pinky finger. What if you can't do anything else but squeeze one of those little rubber balls? Actually, I've seen them for sale at the store. They're like $3. And you can squeeze them until you can't squeeze any more. I don't really have the article in front of me, but one thing that I'm thinking of right now is years ago, I was reading this study where they looked at, and there was no women in this study, it was only men. But to me, it was so interesting because they looked at men that, for whatever reason, they were involved in some type of industrial accident where both of their legs were crushed, fractured, broken. So I don't know what happened. Maybe a forklift backed into somebody and crushed their legs. Maybe they got caught in a piece of machinery. Maybe they fell. But in the study, there were over 400 men that had their legs crushed. I know, they weren't from one location. It was from all over the U.S. But in the study, I found it so interesting. When they gave these men small dumbbells or one of those little squeezy stress exercise balls, and they actually used them, yeah, that's the key, you gotta use them. So they couldn't move their legs for exercise. It's not like they could say, hey, now that you've got crushed legs, we're gonna put you on an exercise bicycle or a treadmill. Well, of course they couldn't do that. Not even an option. I know you get that. But the men that used a hand exerciser and they used the small dumbbells, they healed 50% faster. I don't know. You tell me, do you want to be in the hospital 50% longer? Or can you do your duty? Grab a stress ball and start squeezing it. You know what you do when you do stuff like that? You're putting stress on your body. It's a good stress. You're telling your body, I got to get up and get moving. Because if you don't get up and get moving, what's going to happen? You're going to have stagnant fluid build up all over the body. It's no mystery that when you don't move your body, you have lots of fluid retention, lots of swelling. Maybe you're not in a hospital bed right now. Maybe you're in your home, and you look down at your legs and you think, oh my goodness, those socks are like cutting into me. Well, it's not, it may not be, it may be the socks, but then again, it may be it's not the socks. Maybe it's just your blood flow and your circulation is so poor that you just can't get enough blood moving to clean the body. Let me tell you one thing I learned a long time ago from Dr. Bland. This is probably back in the early 90s, but he used to say, the solution to pollution is dilution. Now, I don't expect you to understand exactly what that means, but I'm going to tell you. When you don't move your body very well and you don't drink water, you're going to get toxic real quick. It's as simple as that. So, moving to the point where you rapidly increase the amount of blood flow through your body, that's what you want. So really, hard work is a gift. Having a body that you can move and having work in front of you, it's a gift. I see it all the time. As soon as people retire from their job and they become very sedentary, well, what happens to them? They lose a lot of their physical strength. The very thing that was keeping them strong was all the activity and all the motion and all the movement, running from this desk to that desk, getting this job done, getting that job done, moving this, moving that. Yeah, you may not have your own log splitting business or be a tree climber, which those would be really hard jobs, right? I always think it's incredible, the guys that can climb a tree. Talk about athletic. It's just incredible what they're... Now, there's always a risk involved. If you're 85 years old, maybe starting your own tree trimming business is not right for you, but getting your body moving. Oh my goodness. You have to. If all you can do is move the fingers of your hand, then start by squeezing one of those exercise balls. You've got to do something. Is it possible that you can over-squeeze? Yeah, maybe your hand will draw a cramp and you'll be exhausted. Well, one of the hallmarks of a person that's not long for this earth is when they lose their perception of thirst and taste. They just don't live real long. And so what do you do if you're in that situation? If you have lost your ability to desire water, you know, normal thirst, well, you make yourself if you want to turn it around, if you want to live. Now, let me read this to you right here. This comes from a 2019 study. That would be exactly 3 years ago. Actually, it's probably more like 2.5. I'm just joking with you since this is 2022. A 2019 study of more than 16,000 elderly women found that those who walked an average of 4,400 steps per day, which, hey baby, that's easy to do. 4,400 steps, that's a cakewalk. That's easy. So if you could walk 4,400 steps a day, you were 40% less likely to die during this particular study than those that walked 2,700 steps or less. You're probably thinking, Dr. Morgan, I don't even know anybody that walks, that doesn't walk, you know, 2,700 steps. Well, there's plenty. I promise you. If you don't believe that, then go to the grocery store and see who gets on that motorized shopping cart. And the truth of it is, they probably have such pressure on their ankles, their feet, their knees, their hips, if they've got to ride that motorized scooter, if they're going to get back to the part of the store where they sell butter, they're not going to walk it in. So it says the mortality rate continued to decline when the women walked between 4,500 and 7,500 steps a day. I'm going, all right, I like that. So 40% less chance of dying when you walk 4,400 steps a day. But what if you walk 7,500 steps a day? Oh my word, it gets even better. You ever ask yourself if you want to live? You know, I really like the program that I heard about the woman saying, you've got to change your past into who God wants you to be. I like that a whole lot. And so, here's another study. In this particular study, they focused on nearly 5,000 men and women. They were aged 40 and over. Okay, I know, you're listening to me, you're thinking, I don't even know anybody that's 40 years old. That's over the hill. Well, there's plenty of us. And what they did was they tracked their mortality rate for over a full decade. That's 10 years. In this particular study, walking 8,000 steps per day, they cut the mortality rate in half as compared to people that just walked 4,000 steps. Get this right here. What if you take the 8,000 steps and then you add 4,000 steps and you have 12,000 steps a day? That's not hard either. Yeah, I mean, it takes effort to do that, yes. I'm not denying that. You have to set your mind like Flint if you're going to walk 12,000 steps a day, but it's doable. So when they walked 12,000 steps a day, they brought the chance of death down another 15%. Yeah, is that really a big mystery? Is that really a big mystery that the more you move, the more you live? You know, life is all about movement and motion. And so, what's going to happen to you if you don't move? Well, you know the answer to that. You're going to die. And every day that you go on by not moving, you're just making it a heck of a lot harder to get well. I don't have the study right in front of me, but years and years ago, I looked at the old worker comp studies. And when I say workers' comp, I'm talking about the insurance plan that a business owner or a company, they're required by law to have this program or this insurance plan that if you get injured on the job, they're going to cover you. Now, I've been at this a little while here, okay? But I remember when I came on board a long time ago, workers' comp was everywhere. And they did pay chiropractors to treat injuries that were on the job. So that was a choice or an option that a person had. You had the freedom to choose. But I figured out real quick, here's how it went down. When I would take workers' comp back in, let's just say around 1990, 91, 92, 3, 4, 5, those first 5 years of the 90s, it was really common for patients to say, Dr. Morgan, because I'm on workers' comp, I need you to write a letter requesting that I have a hot tub installed in my backyard. And then I would get another patient that say, Dr. Morgan, I need you to write a letter to the insurance company requesting they build, they didn't say Olympic-sized swimming pool, but I'm not making this up. You're going to think I am. But they would say, Dr. Morgan, I need a swimming pool constructed in my backyard because I had this injury, and that's really the only form of rehabilitation that I'm interested in. And I'd like it to be a heated pool made of salt water. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not. And then they wanted a home gym installed, you know, on the insurance company dime. And then they wanted specialized sleeping equipment called a luxury bed is that does whatever you want it to do. But yeah, all those things. And, you tell me, is that really true and correct? Is that the way that it should be? If somebody has an injury on the job, some of the injuries, like I remember one of them, and it was bad, it wasn't good. But I remember one particular woman, she claimed that she slipped on one Thompson seedless grape in the grocery store, and that was when we had Winn-Dixie here in town, or was it Piggly Wiggly? It was one or the other. That tells you how long ago it was. But she felt as if she deserved a swimming pool and a hot tub. And, I just don't get that. You know, here's the reality of it. If you're living on this earth, trouble and trials and tribulations and difficulties and pain and suffering, well, you better become pretty acquainted with them because they're at every turn. But the beauty of this is we can learn so much about who God really is and what he means to us by going through these difficulties. That's right. If you want to join me on the radio, then there's a phone line open. I'll get you right in, and you can ask me whatever question you want. And asking questions is really good. Remember what Jesus said? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. You know what that tells me? There's effort involved in everything. I remember a long time ago, I used to hear Eddie Bicerri quote the verse, whatsoever your hands fight to do, do it with all your might as serving God and not man. That one really rings true and sticks with me. And so what am I doing here this morning? Well, I'm doing my duty. This is my natural God-given skill set. And I better start doing my duty by helping others. That's what I'm here for. And you know what? It's fun. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you, too.
This is your favorite shepherdess calling in to wish you a Happy New Year.
Oh, so you're the one that's hurting all the cats?
Mm-hmm.
They're easy to hurt, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Very easy. Very easy. I practiced on chickens last night.
Oh, chickens are even easier.
Oh, gosh, that was a lot of fun.
What'd you do? Say, here, chicky, 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 chicky?
I wish.
I wish it was that easy, too.
I wish. I have a question for you. Walking the pasture back and forth, back and forth, I have seemed to have strained, I guess, my groin.
Uh-huh.
It's above my left side of my leg.
But it's on the front. It's on the front half, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But I'm also feeling my maximus gluteus muscles, or whatever my...
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the name of a Roman gladiator, by the way. Maximus gluteus.
No, whatever that's called. I don't know.
Gluteus maximus.
Thank you. There you go. There
it
you
is
go.
The largest muscle in the body. How about that?
Yes, it is. And so I have like a pinpoint spot I can feel. And
well, where is it?
Kind of straight back on the same left side, but straight back in that muscle.
Okay.
I just feel a discomfort.
Well, does it go away when you lay in bed?
Not really.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, when I roll over, I can still feel it.
Okay, gotcha. But it doesn't have pain that wakes you up without the motion
no.
of movement. Okay, that's a good sign right there.
No, no.
Does
but
it hurt to stand on your leg?
Is the groin area
yeah.
on the front. It limits my walking, or I start walking weird, and then that back part kind of bothers me.
Yeah, if you start walking weird, that's where the lions and tigers are going to say, hey, this woman's weak, let's attack her and eat her right now.
Exactly.
You don't want to be a wildebeest that's limping on the African Serengeti plain. You'll be a snack.
That's exactly right.
Okay, all right, well, what are you asking me to do here?
I'm wondering, how did I ever do something on the front? I mean, it's not a lifting thing that I understand.
I'm gonna make a guess here, and my guess comes from 32 years of doing this. So that's mm-hmm. my guess. When I examine people with a very similar problem, I have learned that one of the first muscle groups that I truly look at or I investigate, they're called hip rotators. And so what they do is they're muscles that are deep in the pelvis. And to me, they're such a big deal because what their job is, when they're firing on all eight cylinders, they hold your hips in alignment, they hold your knees in alignment, and they hold your lower back in alignment. I know I'm making it sound real simple. So if you were laying on my examination table, what I would do first is I would examine the hip to see if I can pinpoint where the problem's coming from. But usually it's going to be the external hip rotators. They lose their ability to hold your hips in alignment.
Mm.
And so one thing that you may do is you may go onto a website that probably you have never heard of before. It's called YouTube.
Hmm.
Really? Okay.
Sounds kind of familiar, yeah.
All right, well, just type in YOU, tube. And if you type in, how do I stretch and strengthen hip rotators?
Okay.
That may give you a starting point. Now, the other things that I can tell you, this is all easy. What I would do is I would start rubbing fresh lemon juice over the area of pain. And the reason I like lemon juice, it's one of the most effective solvents when you're trying to help the body to heal and repair from an injury.
Okay.
Now, the other option you have is just going to a doctor that knows what they're doing.
Mm.
And let them examine you and figure it out. When I say knows what they're doing, if the visit is 15 seconds long and that just involves writing a note in your chart that your groin hurts,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't sound like they know what they're doing. So somebody
No,
it's called good old-fashioned hard work. You've got to actually examine the hip and the muscles and the nerves and the joints and find out where's the problem coming from.
Okay, so say we know that area. Why am I doing this? What am I doing that is, am I walking too much? Am I hearing something? Or
here's what I don't know, but I see, this is another theme that I see frequently. Let's just say that 35 years ago, you were involved in a rodeo competition where you said, I think I can do bareback bronc riding better than the boys do. So
how about a gymnastics meet? And now, you slammed your hips into a bar.
Okay, now we're talking.
Mm.
You know what? You catch on real fast. You already know where I'm going before I even get there.
Wow.
But yeah, if you had an old injury, and here's the issue. Those old injuries, I mean, a lot of times they just don't completely heal and resolve. And so they catch you later, just like if somebody had a knee injury playing football when they were 17 years of age. Is it really any shock or surprise that they start having knee problems when they're 40 years old?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so injuries are real. And I always think if somebody had a gymnastics injury where they did a quadruple backflip and landed with their hips on the parallel bars, that could be a problem.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, in the old days, we didn't do what they do now. We just hit the bar with our hips and spun
really?
Around it.
Mm-hmm. And so, so your coach said, "Suck it up, be a man. I want wipe those tears."
Yeah, adjust the bar so you don't hit your hip bones.
Yeah, they said, "Don't tell me you have a broken leg. Get back up and do it again."
Exactly.
Yeah, and most likely that would be one thing that I would look at. But still, all right. Now that we know that you've had an injury in gymnastics, the most important thing at this point is, what are you going to do to resolve this issue that you have with the pain?
Yeah, the groin is just debilitating. It's like the left leg doesn't want to work right.
I can actually feel your pain. You don't know this, but I played high school football.
Ah.
And the gentleman that hit me in my left hip, his name was Edwin Simmons. I don't know if he's still around. He was from Hawkins, Texas. But he went on to play for the University of Texas Longhorns, but I remember the play. It's amazing how pain is such a good teacher.
Yes.
But he hit me right in my thigh, and I tell you what, I have to continually take care of it. I hate to disappoint you by saying that we're driving high-maintenance vehicles, but it's the way it is.
Okay.
Injuries come back to haunt you. That's why if you have an injury to an area, you do have to spend a little bit more energy, a little bit more time, trying to keep it in good working order, and that's called exercise. And the exercise could be a form of a natural movement, or it could be a stretch, or it could be anything to help recalibrate the hip joints. So if your hips have been injured in the past, I'm going to just bet right now, not that I'm a betting person, but I'm just saying, what is the tendency here? Most likely, if I touched your hip rotator, you would scream, and then you'd pull your .44 Magnum from your purse and point at me and say, "Don't ever do that again." No, that's my way of saying it would probably really, really hurt if I touched your hip rotator. But then again, what can we learn from that? Your body has a way of telling you where the problem is. It's called pain.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to have you do is I want you to run toward that. So at the very least, go onto YouTube and type in, "How do I stretch and strengthen and rehabilitate an injured hip rotator?"
Okay.
Because I've seen those over and over and over again until the person fixes it. And a lot of the fixing has to do with what they do when they're home alone with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may involve laying on the floor and doing different stretches and exercises to help realign the hips and get them in better working order. But getting the muscles stronger is just a huge deal. The muscles are what's responsible for all this.
Okay.
So that's what I would focus my energy on right now.
And so that's why it radiates to the back gluteus maximus area.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
It does.
Okay. Well,
and so there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, can you take and just squat with your heels flat all the way to the ground while you sit up?
Almost.
Almost. Okay, that's good.
Almost. Yes.
And see, there's a hope for you.
Now getting up is the issue.
Oh, well, that's the other half of the equation. If you go down, you must come up.
Yeah, the down I can do, and the heels are almost to the ground.
Yes, but. And see, I'm really good at falling, but the problem is getting back up once you fall. I have mastered falling down. Anyway.
Well, okay. Well, thank you for enlightening me on that.
You're welcome. I wish it was more glamorous where I could say, just take cod liver oil. It'll make all the pain go away.
Well, you know, I thought it was from lousy and I'm not saying they were lousy. I had two kids, but two C-sections that I was cut, I think, too low.
And see, yes, but you're still illustrating the same point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that weakens the pelvic bowl. It really does.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
I got a big
in
ripped
all
up,
areas.
Yes. And so you don't know what my wrist looks like, but I've got a pretty big gash through my wrist where I had an accident as a 2-year-old child. I ran through a glass door. It will cut you up. So my left wrist, it's never going to be as strong as my right wrist. It's just not.
Yeah.
And so how do I keep it from hurting? I got to keep it strong. Simple as that.
So those low-cut C-sections are not the way to go.
Well, I don't want to say it that way. Now that it's behind you, then what you've got to do is you got to play the hand that you're dealt, right?
Yes, that's right.
And so it may mean that you have to do a little bit extra work than the average person. And just think, the whole time you're doing it, you can have a bad attitude. You can say, this is not fair that I have to spend 5 minutes a day. All my friends don't have... No, I'm just joking about that. No, but this is what you've got to do. And so run toward this, and let's see if we can't get you completely pain-free. And have your body say, thank you so much for taking good care of me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And Happy New Year.
Okay. Have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
I think not that long ago, since she's the one that broached the topic of Julius Caesar. He was born by C-section, so cesarean section, that's where we get that from, how Julius Caesar himself was born. But I read a story one time. Actually, we got somebody coming on the phone line. I'll tell you the Julius Caesar story momentarily. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I hope it's going to be a wonderful, happy new year for you and yours.
You know what? If it rains today and it gets cold later, I'm going to be happy with that. So thank you so much.
Well, we'll claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, what would you...
touching anything.
Amen. What would you like to happen to your family this year? What kind of blessings would you like God to give you?
Jesus Christ.
Are they all there yet?
No, not quite.
Okay, but you're wanting that for the ones...
God's still on the throne.
Well, then you're one smart cookie wanting that. Actually, what's more important in the universe than that?
Well, nothing this side of eternity, so we can get to the good part of the other side of eternity.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for calling. How can I help?
Okay, I had some blood work done, and I'm a little bit, I'm one of these anti-statin people. But anyway, my triglycerides turned out to be 313, and my total cholesterol was 362, and my HDL was 45.
Well, and, what do you think all that means?
Well, of course, being diabetic, it affects everything. But anyway, so my question is I finally consented to letting them talk me into putting me on Zetia. And
but why? Why did they talk you into that?
They think if your cholesterol's,
here's the number one problem that you've got. You've got high levels of insulin, and you've developed what's called insulin resistance. So the more that your body needs insulin, the higher your cholesterol and triglycerides go. Mm-hmm. And so how do we solve that? It's called intermittent fasting. If you can just eat all the food you're ever going to eat in about 6 to 7 hour window, you're going to win with this.
I usually eat between noon and 5.
Then you're smart. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you don't really have to have a diet loaded with sugar or grains to make your sugar go high, your triglycerides go high. All you got to be is just stressed. It's called fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
So
let me
tell you how I can fail a patient. If somebody walks into me to my office and says, Dr. Morgan, my triglycerides are 313, mm-hmm. I'm afraid I'm going to have a stroke, and I'm going to say, yeah, you're speaking wisely, because the number one predictor of a stroke is going to be triglycerides 200 and above. I'm not saying it to be negative. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving you full disclosure because I love you and I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not walking twice a day, then I'm not doing my job. I'm lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, if you can start moving your body twice a day, what if you just did 2 30-minute walks? That will reset your insulin receptor sites on your cells, something a drug can never do.
Yeah, well, I'm not much of a sitter. I'm a hairdresser, so I'm pretty much moving all day long.
Well, you're pretty much not listening to me.
Yeah.
You need to walk twice a day, 30 minutes a day. I just told you. I'm lying to you if I don't tell you that.
Okay.
Which means I told you in advance. I'm not going to lie to you. That means I'm not agreeing with you. Just do your duty.
Yeah.
Forget the hairdressing. Forget whatever you do during the day.
Yeah, well, you certainly don't get to sit down to.
No, you don't. But that, you know what? I hate to break it to you. That don't count.
Yeah, it didn't get the heart rate up.
That's not what I'm concerned about. Yeah, I like the heart rate up. But how are you going to win with this if you don't walk twice a day for 30 minutes each time? How?
I'll do it. I just have to have a treadmill on the patio.
Well, you don't have to have a treadmill. You can put on tennis shoes and go outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that okay?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Okay, good. Even better. Save your money. Walk.
Yeah.
No, and I'm telling you the honest truth on this matter. Mm-hmm. You can try every way that you want to, but if you avoid this, you're never going to get what you want.
Mm-hmm. So back to the Zetia, I've only been on it for about a month, but I'm concerned about the repercussions, what it'll do to my liver and kidneys. I'm real protective of my kidneys.
Then get off of it when you're ready.
Okay. What are the repercussions? I mean,
Repercussions of you not walking twice a day. I just covered them this morning.
No,
if you're overweight, you live 3 years less than if you don't walk every day.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're taking a well. Let me tone it down, Roy. Here I'm talking to myself. Mm-hmm. Roy, I need you to be sweet and loving and kind to this sweet lady because you love her. Okay. Here's the deal. What you're doing is you're avoiding reality. I need you to come to terms with your body is begging you to walk and to move. It's begging you right now. And so if you start doing that, your body's going to say, oh my goodness, I love this. I actually have blood flow now going to my kidneys and liver. Your body will bless you. And it does it every single time.
Yeah.
And so the only thing that you need is to become stronger. You're very athletic, so I want you to become more athletic and stronger. It's your duty. It's your basic duty. Even after you've done everything that you're required to do, you're still an unworthy servant. You're only doing your duty. That's the way I'm looking at it right now from my point of view. I'm only doing my duty to tell you the truth. And so you won't need the Zetia if you can just start the process of doing this.
Well, the walking's the easy part.
If you do that, if you just eat meat and vegetables only, you're going to win, win, win. And you're going to have such an amazing testimony. Everybody's going to come up to you and say, hey, how'd you accomplish this? And you're going to tell them what? Good old-fashioned hard work. I disciplined myself not to eat sugar and grain, and I focused on eating vegetables and meat. And I eat two meals a day. If you skip breakfast, if you walk while you're fasting, oh my goodness, you talk about amazing things to take place. Then I would say if you want your triglycerides to come down lower, it's been proven over and over again, the body requires what are called omega-3 fatty acids to function properly. So you could take fish oil every day. That's very easy to do. Okay. All you do is open your mouth and swallow it down and it's done. Or you could eat fish. The next thing that you're going to need, in my opinion, is you're going to need magnesium, zinc, vitamin D3, and vitamin K2.
Yeah, got all those.
And if I really had my fantasy world going where I'm going, what would be perfect for all these people, I'd say you would be really, really smart if you start taking what's called resveratrol. That's a flavonoid compound that usually is found in red wine, but I'm probably not going to get away with saying, hey, drink two bottles of red wine a night. You know I'm joking about that. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
And so if you do, if, yeah, but the side effect of Zetia, man, I'm really concerned about just beating the crap out of your liver and your gallbladder and your pancreas.
I don't have a gallbladder.
Well, then even more important to take care of yourself because the gallbladder is a one big honking trash can. And so without the gallbladder, you're going to be more prone to having toxicity issues. And really, if you just started drinking water all throughout the day with lemon or making herbal tea, I would totally approve of that. Every time that you squeeze lemon or lime in a glass of water, you are voting to help clean your pancreas and your liver. And it's very gentle.
Is that what the lemon does? Is it cleans it?
Yeah.
Because I drink. In fact, my endocrinologist told me I was drinking too much water. I can't imagine.
Oh, really? I'm telling you, maybe you should listen to the endocrinologist. You know what I'm being sarcastic by saying this,
yeah,
don't you? Why don't we let the endocrinologist take care of you and do their job? So tell me, what kind of work does the endocrinologist do for you? How much have they been able to help you? Tell me about their duty. Okay, there you go. So what you're going to do is you're going to be your own best advocate, because you know what? I know you. You're super smart. You really are. You're not just intelligent, but you're really clever. So I think if you just do these things, only you already got half of it down. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of improvement. And now the other thing is, people don't like to wait for results, but you know what? In the real world, you have to. Rome wasn't built in a day, so it's going to take time. But I can tell you this, 3 months from now, you are going to have a very amazing testimony. But your triglycerides, those can be cut in half within 3 weeks. All you got to do is take Gymnema. Gymnema is an herb, and if you take it consistently before you eat, you'll start to see some healing and repair of your pancreas and your liver.
I've got Gymnema.
There you go. You're set.
Okay. Okay, well, I will get off the Zetia. I was real reluctant to take it anyway because...
Well, I mean, that's your choice. I can't legally tell you not to take it. I haven't examined you, so where I know what the deal is. But right now, if you take a drug to do the job of your liver and your pancreas, I don't think that's a good trade-off. I realize there's a time and a place for a drug. If you've got double pneumonia, I'm going to personally come to your house. If I have to drag you on a blanket to get you out to the car to get you to the emergency room, I'm going to do it. But I'll get you there where you can get the antibiotic.
Praise God, I don't have that.
No. Okay, no, but thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate your openness and your honesty.
Well, I appreciate your help on this, because I'm just an anti-chemical person, and it really bothers me.
Well, then let's take advantage of that, and that means you're going to run toward healing, and that means don't eat grains of any kind, and just try to limit your sugar. If you have a little bit of sugar, you might be just fine. But the less that you have, the better. But it's going to be walking and moving.
Well, that's easy.
I came up with this patent, but nobody will patent it. I wanted to make a shock collar for human beings instead of for like a bird dog in the field. And I thought if I could just push that button every time it's time for a person to walk, I'd make a million. But it didn't work that way.
Well,
nobody will patent.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Well, that's why the shock collar, they said the amount of voltage would kill the people. I'm joking. No, thank you so much for your phone call. I hope you have a great new year.
Thank you. I will do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Bless you and yours.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there is once again a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Okay, I'm talking about me right here. I'm not talking about anybody else, but when you avoid your duty and you avoid the reality of the truth, all you're doing is living in fear, and the thing will paralyze you. You want to talk about a person getting stuck. That's what happens when you avoid reality. You've got to. This is God designed the body to move. Just move it. Now, I want to tell you the story about Julius Caesar that I thought was interesting. When he was a young man, this was before he became, you know, the Caesar of Rome or the ruler or emperor of Rome. As a young man, he managed to get himself in a bad situation. He was actually captured by pirates. And these pirates, they demanded a really sweet ransom. And it said their request was they turned loose all of Julius Caesar's men that were with him, saying, we're going to hold him because he's valuable. He's worth a lot to us. Man, we're going to send you back to bring the ransom back to us. And so their request was they wanted 6 talents. Now, in the book that I read this in, it didn't say if it was 6 talents of gold or 6 talents of silver. So I don't know. I don't know that part of the equation. But let's put it this way. That's probably a lot of money that they were requesting to pay the ransom for Julius Caesar. And so Julius Caesar, right off the bat, told him straight. He said, hey, y'all are making a huge mistake. He said, I'm really worth 50 talents I'm not worth six. You're asking too little. And so they found that very comical that he could be so bold as to make a statement like that. They actually started to like him. And so as they were playing games one day, they were kind of roughhousing, you know, poking fun. That's what men do. I mean, they constantly poke fun at each other, which is just normal. It's probably good for you. Keeps you humble. But Julius Caesar says, hey, wait till I get loose. I'm going to crucify every one of you. And they just blew it off and laughed at him. Well, what happened was, as soon as the ransom was paid, he went immediately to the next port. And he hired, I don't remember how many ships he hired. And then a small army, maybe. Maybe it was a special ops covert military force that he hired. But he went into the pirate's lair, and he crucified all of them. So you can learn he was a man of his word. I just don't get it. See, there, when you do things that are illegal and corrupt, what do you get? You don't get the prize that you think you're going to get. How long did they enjoy the 7 talents of precious metal? I don't know. But, you know, health is the same way. You've got these promises that things are going to go great with a drug. I've been listening to this stuff for 32 years now, and so if I had a nickel for every time I heard from a patient or a drug rep that there's a new cure for diabetes and cancer, do you know how much money I would have in my wheelbarrow right now, nickels? Yeah, I'd have a lot. It doesn't work that way. It's called discipline and hard work and effort. That's the deal. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning.
Uh-oh, I lost you. You must have pushed the wrong button. Okay, are you still there?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
How dare you hang up on me? I may have hung up on you. Sorry about that.
I've got a similar question to what was said earlier.
Yes, sir.
2 months back, I abruptly started having limping problems. And I finally went to the doctor, and they told me I went to a rheumatologist. And they did an MRI, and they said I didn't have arthritis. They didn't think it was a nerve problem. They told me they actually diagnosed my problem as muscle inflammation in my right hip.
Oh, really? Okay.
And after being given a course of muscle inflammation reducers, whatever you want to call that, it's the pain has gone away. The worst of the pain has gone down, and that sensation I had going down my right leg is much less. But I can still feel some pain every day in my right hip, and they can't tell me what caused it. It's just an abrupt deal. I know of no injury that occurred to me. What could this be?
Well, the reason why your hip was injured is because you saw a young baby waddling into the middle of the highway, and you sprinted at full speed and snatched the baby before the 18-wheeler ran over it. That's the problem. That's what caused it.
I was wearing my cape that day, yes, sir.
Exactly, with a big red letter S on it.
Yes.
Okay, so even if you cannot figure out, did I step off of a curb wrong? Did I step in a hole in the yard while I was mowing the grass? Did I jump off the back of a hay truck and land on my foot the wrong way? I don't know what the cause is, and neither do you, because you have no recollection of any one singular event that led up to this. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what we got to do is we got to play the hand we're dealt. You got a problem, you don't know why it happened, but it is what it is. And so what I would do if you were here right now is I would pinpoint the area of pain, which here's how I would do that. I'd say, sir, point to the area of pain, and you would show me, right? But then again, you got to start examining the body, and that's what a doctor's supposed to do. They're only doing their job when they would do orthopedic tests of the hip. But you've got to find out, is it nerve pain? Is it cartilage pain? Is it bone pain? Is it joint pain? Is it muscle pain? Is it pain from a ligament or a tendon? I think I've covered all of them. Maybe there's skin pain, but I don't think that's it. But you've got to pinpoint where the source of pain is coming from. And so let me give you like a little bit of a clue here. The body is really, really good at complaining by using pain when something's not right. I know you know that. And so usually with the hip area, I tell you, if I had 8 out of 10 times, it's going to be a weak hip rotator, because the job of the hip rotator is to hold your hips and your back and your pelvis and your knee in alignment. And so when they stop doing their job to hold your leg and your knee and your hip in alignment, guess what happens? You start having pain. It's very, very easy to examine and to test. You might even go on YouTube and be very successful looking up videos on how to test your hip rotators to see if they're working right. But that's what I would do. And it's just one hip. It's not both, right?
It's just one, yes.
Okay, but that's what I would look at. And if I found a weak muscle, I would turn to you and say, sir, this is your weak muscle right here. Let's go on to YouTube and type in, how do I stretch and strengthen weak hip rotators? That's one example. Or the other one, the other muscle that I see that doesn't fire properly on all 8 cylinders is usually a hip flexor. And so when the hip flexor is not working right, yes, your hip's going to hurt all the time. Or it can. That's what I should have said. That's more correct.
Okay.
But they're hard to get to because they're buried deep in the body. It's not like you can take a foam roller and roll it out like you could a hamstring or a calf muscle or a quadriceps. But right now, you tell me, what makes it worse? What do you have to do to make the pain worse?
The more I bend in to my hip, like trying to put a sock on, it will roughly flame up.
Do you have more pain at night when you're laying in bed? Does the pain wake you up?
When it was at its worst, I had to stay in one spot.
Because if you moved, that stirred the sucker up, right?
It did.
Oh boy!
I went one spot every night when it was bad, and I'd say I'm mystified how it ever started up, and it's taken.
No, I'm totally with you on that. You don't remember one single thing that happened that caused any of this.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to have you do. Go ahead and at least try the process of rubbing fresh lemon juice on that area of pain. You got nothing to lose.
All right.
Did the rheumatologist actually examine all the muscles and joints and nerves of the hip?
He poked around a little bit and initially gave me a shot, which... in the area, and that was before any kind of MRI or anything, and it helped out maybe 24 hours.
But the pain came right back, right?
It came right back immediately.
And so, I mean, but there's a lesson we can learn from this. Just because they applied a steroid shot or an anti-inflammatory or both, it just didn't fix the root cause of the problem, did it?
No, sir.
Well, those are things that I would look at right there. Obviously, if you were here in front of me, I would just go ahead and examine it. We'd get this thing figured out right now. But without an injury, I got to go with a muscle problem. And literally, it's the job of the muscles to hold every square inch of that joint in alignment. And man, can you have sharp pain when they become weak.
Okay.
I watched a guy walk in my office yesterday. I didn't know anything about him. I said, do you have neuropathy? He says, well, I don't know what I've got, but I can't walk. I'm going, well, I can tell. But obviously, he had some issue that was going on that he just has so much pain. So we have to tackle it piece by piece. But if it's on one side of your body, is it the right hip or the left hip?
It's the right hip.
Did you have like an injury a long time ago when you were in high school?
No, sir. And in case it's a factor, I'm type 2 diabetic.
Well, that's always a factor, because if you want to really prolong healing, being a type 2 diabetic is going to get you there. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad. It just takes longer for a diabetic to heal than if you weren't. Does that make sense?
All right. Yes. Okay.
Do you do any type of exercises on your hip or your back or your legs?
No.
Okay. Did you prior to this?
I know to do it, and I have done it, but I haven't been to the YMCA in a while.
You must live in the Palestine area. I don't even know where a YMCA is anywhere else.
You hit it on the mark.
Well, they don't have one in Tyler anymore, and I don't think they have one. Let me see. They don't have one in Frankston or CUNY or Reese or Jacksonville, so it's got to be Palestine. Well, that may be one thing that you may try doing is just getting on an exercise bicycle of some kind, just to get the blood moving up and down the leg. That'd be a first start. But I always say we got to run toward where the problem is. And so if you have a muscle that's really crying out in pain, we need to address the reason why it's in pain. And usually when a muscle is much weaker than it should be, that's where you're going to have a lot of problems. You really, really will.
Yeah.
And so doing your own home therapy on that, it could be as simple as just getting onto YouTube and typing in Movement Natural, if you wanted to, or MoveNat, M-O-V-N-A-T, and looking at all the hip exercises and stretches. Because really the bottom line is restoring function. That's the key to healing every problem. There's not a problem you can tell me that's not the solution for. If somebody has a kidney that's really weak, guess what the solution is? Restoring and healing the kidney. What if it's the pancreas? There was a woman that was, she was in my office the other day, and I was examining her, and I pushed downward into her pancreas, and I thought she was going to grab my fingers and break them off. It hurt so bad. Hurt her. It was about to hurt me. And I said, what's going on? And she told me the truth. She said, I've been drinking a lot of martinis here lately. And I'm going, okay, that makes sense. But you know what? She has to come to the own conclusion that drinking martinis are wrecking her pancreas. Just like if I pushed in a man's liver and he cries out in pain, he has to come to the conclusion that drinking 12 beers a night is maybe not good for him. Maybe all that alcohol is really, really rough on the liver. So everything you've got is fixable, as far as I know. We just have to run toward it and attack the root cause of the problem. But I would just have you to try to satisfy your own curiosity, look up, how do I stretch and strengthen and correct a hip rotator or hip flexor problem? Because that's where your problems are coming from. When you try to flex your hip up, like if you laid on your back and tried to pull your knee toward your chest, that would hurt, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
And so rub lemon juice. You can either use castor oil on top of it or extra virgin olive oil. I'm kind of partial to what's called unfiltered extra virgin olive oil just because it has more nutrients and more chlorophyll. And really, that's the name of the game with the human body. I hear people all the time tell me they're terrified of taking vitamin B12 because their doctor scared them. And I think to myself, okay, Roy, talk nicely to them. And I have to say calmly, B12 is a water-soluble vitamin. You have nothing to fear. You're not going to die from a B12 overdose. I've never heard of that before. But when you're low in B12, what do? You're going to have B12 to rejuvenate the body. And usually, if someone's a diabetic, my interpretation would be that's a very severe B12 deficiency. Now, I'm only talking to you, but I would encourage you just eat foods that are very high in B12. I mean, you're probably going to thank me in 10 seconds when I tell you what the solution is. If you would eat beef, liver, and onions once a week, you'd call me in a month and say, Dr. Morgan, you're a genius. Or maybe not. But if you eat foods that are very high in B12, you can actually start to rejuvenate your body. But there is no rejuvenation where there is no B12. It doesn't happen. And so we only want to give your body the very thing it needs so it can do its job. And its job is to serve you. I mean, don't you have an amazing body?
When it's healthy, yes, sir.
Yeah, well, it's even when it's not healthy, it's still amazing how you can command it to do whatever you want. It's kind of like your brain or your mind. You can make it do anything that you want, but you got to be the general and tell it to do that. And so if we looked at the one country on the planet that has, when they test them, they have the lowest vitamin B12 levels of anywhere on the planet. That's called India. And maybe some of it has to do with their religious beliefs of not eating, you know, meat that has B12 in it. That's probably it. I really haven't studied the whole reincarnation thing thoroughly, but I think in their religion, you don't want to eat somebody that's reincarnated into a cow. Is that right?
I believe that's what they believe, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't really know. Somebody could correct me very easily, but they have the highest level of diabetes on the entire planet because your body needs B12, and you really only get B12. I mean, you can tell me that you get B12 from eating blue-green algae and chlorella. Not really, not much at all. Where you get it from is when you eat things like sardines and fish and salmon, flounder, haddock, halibut, cod, your T-bone steak, that's full of vitamin B12. Liver is like the greatest dose of all time. I'm willing to bet if you had calf liver once a week, you'd say, this is the best that I've felt in 20 years. See how I'm trying to trick you into eating beef liver?
That's the toughest thing you've said so far.
Well, I need one of your relatives to hold you at gunpoint saying, I will shoot you if you... I'm just joking. Not that. No, but everything is mind over matter. You got to, you know, decide, what am I going to do here?
All right. I'll look for...
But you can heal. Well, you can. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just get you all well. Right. I like it, man.
All righty.
Thank you so much for your phone call. I wish you the best. Have a great new year.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day. Bye. Okay, if you want to join me on the radio, there's time for maybe one more short phone call. I'm looking at the... I've got like 3 minutes left. Surely that's enough to do it. 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, why don't we just talk about a game plan here? Every good chemical reaction that takes place in the human body takes place in the presence of water. You can't get around that. I was reading an article about how do they predict who's going to age well and who's not going to age well. Some of it has to do with their perception of thirst. And you know what? There comes a point where your brain becomes so weak and your hypothalamus just ceases to work properly where you can't even determine if you're thirsty or you're not thirsty. And you know what? It's good to have somebody around you say, Mom, I need you to drink some water. Or husband, I need you to drink some water. Or child, drink water. This whole idea that we should allow kids and adults to drink Coca-Cola because they say, I need something that has flavor. Okay, you can say it any way that you want. Yeah, you can. It's just an excuse. You're avoiding the inevitable. Drink water. Because if you hydrate your cells, guess what they do? They start generating electricity and energy, and they start working to keep you in good working order. You know, you can't have it both ways. You know what the truth is? You're either... Now, this is my way of saying it. You're either growing, healing, and repairing, or you're doing the other. You're not healing, which means you're degenerating, you're decomposing, you're dehydrated, you're going downhill, you're producing less energy. Your body is struggling to keep up with one infection after the other. So why don't we just vote that we can heal? One of the ways you do that is by drinking adequate amounts of water. Your body probably is very simply 70% pure water. If somebody did a test called electrical bioimpedance, and they demonstrated that your water levels were around 65%, well, that's dehydration right there. I see people that are dehydrated all the time because the only thing they're drinking is coffee or soft drinks or alcohol. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I was just astonished. The highest cancer rates are among people that drink alcohol. And yeah, there's another reason why, but alcohol is very dehydrating. So if you're going to have it, I'd say sparingly. And maybe it should be something like a nutritionally dense wine or something like that. Anyway, I think I'm probably out of time. I don't have the numbers in front of me. That's my fault. But I really enjoyed being with you. And why don't we just set our minds like Flint that we're going to be really good stewards of taking care of our body this year. And just think, if you go for a walk today, you're only doing your duty. You don't deserve a cookie for going for a walk. Anyway, I'll tell you the cookie story another day. Lord willing, I will be back here this time next week on KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.